Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 189 and a half. My name is John Morgan. Cole Coffee is not with me. He's probably sleeping by now. It is late in the night here in Denver, Colorado. UFC Fight Night 139, the Korean Zombie versus Rodriguez is in the books. The UFC's 25th anniversary show was a smashing success. Unbelievable entertainment. Good card all the way around. But man, just finished off in incredible fashion. The main event, the co-main event were spectacular. And when you walk out the door on a high like that, you're always going to have good memories. Yair Rodriguez stepping in on short notice, replacing Frankie Edgar, taking on Chan Sung Jung. And these two guys went to absolute war. Fantastic fight. I mean, you're talking about a fight of the year type candidate. And as far as I'm concerned, I think probably the knockout of the year is locked up at this point. I mean, unbelievable finish from Yair Rodriguez. Just the technique itself, just the way the fight was finished itself would be enough to make it a knockout of the year. I mean, we don't see that technique. How many hundreds and thousands of fights have we watched and not seen a fight finished in that way? And then you add in the fact that it was with 1 second left on the clock. And then you add in the fact that Yair Rodriguez was down on the cards. Two judges had it 3-1 heading into that fifth round. One judge did have it even 2-2. But at best, Yair Rodriguez was looking at losing a split decision if one more second ticks off the clock. Instead, he gets a stunning knockout finish, a knockout so sneaky that most media that I talked to admitted that they didn't really see it at first. You know, it wasn't until the replay that they realized exactly what had landed and how it had landed. And of course, Paul Felder, as amazing as a job as he's been doing as an analyst for the UFC, he thought it was a headbutt at first. He thought it was a headbutt that ended the fight. Instead, it was that beautiful elbow from Yair Rodriguez, and Yair deserves all the credit in the world. Man, it is hard to frame exactly what he accomplished here. A guy that was briefly out of the UFC. Think about that. Was out of the UFC, and then he steps in on short notice. Says he was eating a burger and drinking a beer when he got the call. Has to go to altitude. Has to take on the Korean Zombie, who showed you absolutely why that's his nickname. Man, did he look tough as nails tonight. And Yair Rodriguez battles through all that. Scores this rousing last second knockout win. And he's back. He is back just like that. I am just so impressed by this performance. You know, I said if you listened to the show earlier this week, you know, when this fight was first announced, I don't know, it didn't do it for me. It just didn't do it for me. And I know that may sound weird because these are two exciting names. But I don't know, just Yair coming off a short notice, I didn't know what kind of shape he was going to be in, how he's going to be able to perform. And I was a little concerned. But in speaking to him this week, man, I really do believe mentally he seems to be in an incredible place right now. He seems to just have let all the bad things slip by him and learned life lessons that I think are going to, you know, allow him to flourish. And the guy has unbelievable talent. My God, so creative, so fun. The way he was moving in there, it was fun. It was vintage. It was what we expect from Yair Rodriguez. It was fun to watch. But he was definitely taking some damage. Chan Sung Jung looked incredible as well. He had the layoff as well. He looked phenomenal. I mean, neither one of these guys takes a step back in my book. They both take a step forward. These featherweights are going to be around for a while. You just can't say enough about this. It's an all-time classic fight. It is an all-time classic fight, and it happened as the main event of the 25th anniversary card. You can't beat that. It was a fun card. Love the presentation night, right? I mean, how did you not enjoy those vintage graphics that they had, the vintage package? I did think that I wish they'd have gone all in on it. I was talking to Casey Lydon from MMA Fighting. Him and I were sitting together tonight in the press room working side by side a lot. And I think we both kind of thought the same thing, that I don't want to say they half-assed the graphics and stuff like that. I mean, there were still some of the current graphic packages to go along with the vintage one. So it would have been kind of cool if the whole broadcast was vintage. But I dug it, man, from the logo on the canvas to, you know, just like I said, the way all the video presentations looked and everything. I thought it made for a fun card, man. I thought it really did. I thought it made, you know, for to have that feel. You know, I don't know. Hopefully, don't trash it. Again, kind of like I said, I thought maybe they should bring it back in November. You know, the old school logo. I mean, maybe they can bring back the old school graphics packages once a year or something like that. So, I thought it was fun. I thought that was cool, and I was glad that the UFC did that. I still do feel like they missed the ball a little bit, or dropped the ball and missed the mark. I think you know, there could have done more in terms of 25th anniversary celebration. It sounds like, honestly, it was just budget cutbacks kind of changed things along the way. You know, they originally started with something big, and it just kind of got pared down. So I thought that was a little bit of a miss, but I'm glad for the little things they did do. So did not get to speak with Yair Rodriguez or Chan Sung Jung after the fight. Unfortunately, they both were transported to the hospital for precautionary reasons. I just tweeted out a little bit right before sat down to start recording this that I was told by UFC officials that Korean Zombie's CT scan was negative, and that he is expected to be released from the hospital shortly. Yair Rodriguez also had some scans, and as we sit here now, they're still waiting on those results, so they may come in while we're kind of recapping the card here. But I mean, you kind of knew during. I mean, in fact, I even turned to Casey and said, you know, about, I think we might have been in the third round at that point. I was like, you know what, no matter who wins, I bet we don't get to see either one of these guys tonight. So, you know, damage for sure, and then you add in the altitude as well, and the exhaustion and the dehydration and all that. So, no surprise that both those guys were transported to the hospital, but it sounds like they're okay. You know, Yair was you could see him just collapsing after that victory, man. He was exhausted, and it turns out maybe he broke a foot as well. So just crazy stuff, man. Yair Rodriguez is back. What a way to announce your return. And you know, I was talking last night after weigh-ins and that sort of stuff. I was hanging out with Brett Okamoto, ESPN's Brett Okamoto, and I said, listen, man, I had a really good feeling about Yair this week. And I thought Chan Sung Jung would probably win the fight just because I thought maybe it would be too much for Yair to overcome, to step in on this short notice. But I did get a good feeling. I'm telling you that the vibe that he's given, I think we're about to see him really come into his own. I really do feel like as he was developing in his first run before he lost to Frankie Edgar that, you know, he was getting uncomfortable, and the hype and the pressure and all those things are starting to add up a little bit, and I think he's over that now. So I think we're going to see a spectacular run from Yair Rodriguez. I'm totally down with the fight. It was a beat Magomed Sharipov. The style of these two, everybody wants to see it, man. Everybody wants to see that fight. I did see Zabit tweeting, or maybe it was his manager, Ali Abdelaziz, tweeting, but basically saying, you know, should I take this fight or should I move on? And Yair, for his part, he told me earlier this week, like, listen, I'll fight him if everybody wants me to fight him, if the UFC wants me to fight him. I just don't think he deserves to fight me yet. You know, I feel like I've been around longer, I've accomplished more, and I feel like Zabit needs to do a little bit more to face me. And, you know, I see where he's coming from. It is true. You know, Yair has done more. He has more experience. He's done more things. But I just, that stylistic matchup between those two would just be phenomenal. So I think everybody would like to see the fight. But, you know, maybe it's not the time just yet. Those guys are both, you know, going to have several years. There's no question about it. But man, Yair is going to get some meaningful fights. There's no question about that. And Chan Sung Jung will too, man. Chan Sung Jung will too. He looked great, and he matters, and he's relevant, and he's back. So phenomenal main event there. Just can't say enough about it. It's going to be on a lot of lists, man. You could even say comeback of the year for Yair Rodriguez. I mean, he was 1 second away from losing the fight. 1 second away from losing the fight. Unbelievable. Donald Cowboy Cerrone picked up a submission win over Mike Perry in the co-main event. And, you know, this was maybe not quite the exact fight that everybody was expecting to see, but I don't think you could be disappointed one bit, man. Mike Perry came in just looking like a savage, wild man, just looking crazy as ever in there. And Cowboy Cerrone, meanwhile, he's, you know, kind of laid back and mellow and took it in. You could see as he walked in the venue, taking a little extra second to look around and get a memory of it all, and kissed his baby on the way into the cage. Very, very cool. And then was patient, you know, did not go out there. He said afterwards, you know, the idea was to be patient, you know, let Mike Perry kind of tire himself out a little bit. And don't try to engage too quickly. You know, let that stuff kind of happen and then go from there. So I thought that was a brilliant play. And then surprisingly, you know, Mike Perry wanted to take the fight to the ground. Cowboy had some trouble getting the takedown early on. You could see the power with Mike Perry, man. The strength was there. And Cowboy couldn't get the fight to the ground. And it looked like, ooh, this might be trouble for old Cowboy. Can't get the fight to the ground. And then Mike decided to take the fight to the ground. Was in side control at first, and then got reversed in a smooth little sweep there from Donald Cerrone. And then once Cowboy was on the bottom, was able to get a hold of that arm. And it sounds like, at least according to a tweet from Mike Perry, that the arm might actually be broken. But a phenomenal finish for Donald Cerrone there. Sets all kinds of UFC records with the performance, with the finish, with the win. I mean, to me, Cowboy's a Hall of Famer, man. He's a UFC Hall of Famer already with everything that he's accomplished and everything that he's done. To me, he is a UFC Hall of Famer. You know, I think Michael Bisping used to be the one that was the argument, you know, does he belong in the Hall of Fame if he doesn't win a title? Of course, then he won a title. So now, you know, I think that kind of solidifies his case. He's going to be there. But to me, Donald Cerrone belongs in the Hall of Fame as well, man. And this was a phenomenal win. Now, Donald Cerrone told us beforehand he wants to go down to 155 after this. He said, look, this is my last fight at 170. We're going down to 155. And he said, listen, that's still the plan. And he wants to make a run at the title. You know, in fact, the UFC has already spoken to him about somebody. They've already given him a name. So we'll guess on that in just a second. But let's take a minute and hear from Cowboy Cerrone after an incredible win that he admits is probably the biggest of his career.
Cowboy, you've had a lot of big moments, a lot of big fights, but rank this one, man. Where is this one rated out of all of them?
Yeah, this has got to be the top, right? At home, setting records, holding my boy. That was cool.
What was the feeling walking in? It looked like you kind of took a second as you were walking in the tunnel to kind of look around a little bit, soak it in, and kind of enjoy the moment.
Exactly. Like I said, all week long, just enjoying this whole process, right? If I can say one thing to all those up-and-coming kids, like, this is so quickly gone, right? So through my career, I never realized that. Now I'm looking back like, man, I should have enjoyed those moments more. So tonight I was like, yeah, this is cool, man, right? So just trying to suck it all in, you know, enjoy the whole process of this week.
What was the feeling there in the fight? I mean, Mike had a couple of, stopped your takedowns a couple of times. Yeah. He looked strong in there. I mean, what were you feeling as it was playing out?
Well, I knew he was going to be really strong, and I figured he was going to be more explosive that. When he tried to take me down, I was like, yeah, okay, sure, you can have it. I'll give it to you. But staying disciplined, you know, for one time, it's crazy I say this, moving away from Winklejohn's gym, we actually had a game plan coming into a fight. I've never really had a game plan. So working with my coaches and them being disciplined, like, stay calm, stay at the end of his range, you know, and let him tire out and let him do this, and then we'll come and pick him apart, you know. Don't just go out there and walk him down like Terminator and try and get your head beat in, right? So it was good, and it worked out.
Yeah, no doubt. Talk through the submission. I mean, did you know you had it right away? Yeah. I mean, it was, you had to make some adjustments on it.
Yeah, once I seen the clocks, 30 seconds left, the monitor right by me, I'm like, oh, I better spin for this armbar, and I did. He should have rolled the other way out of it. I don't know why he didn't, and I was like, gotcha. And as soon as I went belly down, I was just going to take it until the referee pulled me off. So
he tweeted after that you broke it. Did you know that it was – could you feel it?
I felt it pop before I went belly down, so the rest was just tearing the chicken wing off, yeah. I was taking it home with me.
No doubt. Well, I mean, it was pretty spectacular. You said you're going to 155.
Yeah, fuck, I hope. I don't know if we could be any more clear about it, can we? You think maybe?
That's the move. What
155, I think. New Year's card would be cool, you know? I don't know. I'll fight on Fight Pass. I don't give a shit. I'll be the first fight of the night. So,
as long as the paycheck comes in.
Oh, yeah, that'll come anyways. But 155, let's go. Let's make a run. Let's do this. Let's train hard. Let's be focused. Let's go get a motherfucking belt.
And you got records now, right?
Yeah, we've always had records, but we got a couple more now. It's good.
You can do it that quick, huh? 55?
Yeah. I'm 182 right now. That's what I walked in here for fight week, and they asked me, like, what do you weigh? Like, 182. That's just, this is heavy for me. When I'm at 55, usually I'm like 76, 77, right? So, yeah, well, I mean, I'm going to have to hire a dietitian, right? For sure, because that last 5 pounds sucks, but I'm going to do it right. It's time. It's time to get my ducks in a row.
Well, if this is a new cowboy.
No, not new. He's been here this whole time.
Well, okay, yeah. Doing some new things though, right? Caring about Bell a little bit more.
Yeah.
Is it to the point where you'll give us a name? Because that's something you'll never do.
Name. Who I want?
Yeah.
Don't care. Still don't care. But there is somebody. They already came up and told me, so. Where's your clickbait? Son of a bitch. If only you can get me to say it, huh? Not going to happen, but...
not going to happen?
Yeah.
So UFC already gave you an idea of what they're looking
at? Yeah.
And you think you can do it in December?
Oh, I don't. They didn't say it. They told me the who for once in my life first. I don't know.
55, though?
55.
And you liked it?
It's very exciting. The guy's very exciting. You like it. You all like it. You'll be like, hmm.
What about him is so exciting?
Hmm.
What about this guy is...
Can we get three guesses?
No.
Hey, no. Cowboy, Perry didn't think you were going to stand with him, and then he tries to take you down. Did that surprise you?
It super surprised me. Especially like when he reached in and took a body lock on me, instead of like reaching around and defending, I was like, yeah, just there you have it. There you go. I just crumbled. And when I was inside control, I was waiting for him to big elbows. He didn't. He was just like breathing heavy, and I was like, well, I'll just lay here and let him tire out and spin and get guard. And yeah, I don't know why he did that.
Earlier this week, you said you went over Melvin, who was one of the biggest moments of your career. Where does this one stand?
Oh, this trumps it, man. I mean, just, man, that place went crazy. You couldn't even hear Bruce Buffer announcing anything, right? It was just so cool to be home, setting records. Set two records tonight, man. It's crazy. It's so cool.
And this is your first fight as a father, correct?
Yeah, first fight as a father. It was unbelievable, man, for sure.
You yelled something right when the fight was over. Were you yelling for your kid?
Get my motherfucking boy. That's what I said. I don't even care. And then I was in the shower just now, and I was like, damn, I feel so bad. Like I put my grandma in second place, you know what I mean? Seriously, I told Lindsay that. I said, man, the first person I called for was my son. Like, maybe I am changing, huh? That's crazy, because Dana was like, your grandma's right there. I'm like, get my fucking boy. And I was like, so.
You walked her out, right?
Yeah, of course. I mean, yeah, it's just my grandma. I love her to death. But I mean, my first instinct was like, I don't even care he's allowed in here. He's a cornerman. Yes, bring him in. We're good, you know? So it didn't matter to me.
What were you thinking of that moment? You just wanted to share the moment with him?
Yeah, I just wanted to hold him, man, and kiss him. And fuck, yeah. I don't know. A feeling I've never felt in my life, ever. It's crazy. So I'm so judgmental. The whole week, everyone's like, is fatherhood changing? I'm like, you're right. It's lame. And here I am, cliche as shit, talking about fatherhood changed me.
Was that as soon as he won? You just hugged your son, or was it like the whole...
No, when we were in the back, the guy showed me a picture of him all dressed up, and I was just, I couldn't even fight the tears back, man. I was like back there bawling, like, ooh. And I've never, like I said, I've never felt anything like that ever in my life. And then when I walked out and I kissed him right before I went in the cage. Like, it didn't matter what Perry had. Like, I'm coming. Here I come.
For how much was surrounding this fight, you seemed remarkably composed and calm.
Yeah, but that's the oldest guy on this card. The oldest guy on the card?
The oldest guy on the card?
That's what that is. Years of being in main events and co-main events and years of having all this media attention and hype and build up, and so just learning to just deal with in the immediate right now, right, and not dwell on all this. Oh, you're going to set a record. Oh, you're fighting for this. You're fighting for that. Just going with the flow, man. Enjoying the process, right? So that's kind of what this all this week really is to me. Enjoying the process.
So you used to have to work to keep your composure. Now it's just natural. It's instinct. Now.
Yeah, it's like, man, exactly. Trying to almost not stay too calm, right? Like my guys are back, like, let's go. Can we see a little bit of rev the engine a couple times, please? I'm like, yeah, we're good. So, but how about Chelito, man? What a fucking finish.
Did you get to watch it? Yeah.
Dude, love that kid. He's like my brother. I fucking trained with him so much, so many times. Like, I'm almost more excited for him. Dude, what? Boop. Come on.
And if one more second ticks out the clock, he loses. He was behind on the car. Dude. So if that goes one more second, he loses the fight.
So, and I ran to the cage, and they stopped me because I thought I was Khabibing in there, and I wasn't. I was just trying to give him a hug. And then halfway through my hug, I thought, man, I'm going to get blood on my $1,200 jacket, so I might want to step back a little bit. But so, yeah.
Anything you want to say to Uncle John?
No, he's pretty clear. My good friend Mikey handled that for me. But yeah, no, they. My grandma went and told Winkle John, should have bet on the dinosaur. You know, should have bet on the dinosaur. He knows what he did. It's all over money too. That's the worst part. So it's like he's still not getting paid, is he? It's all over money. It's just a joke, man.
What'd you think of the old school canvas?
So cool. Everything about this is cool to me. This whole process, this whole journey, this whole moment, man, and setting records. Look at this, right? Come on. Couldn't have dreamt it any better. Fuck yeah.
All right, so Cowboy Cerrone with the impressive win, to say the least, record-breaking. And, man, you know, listen, if you listen to the Roadshow before, I'm a Cowboy homer. There's no doubt about that. So, you know, to me, just always been one of my favorite fighters. But I thought this was a phenomenal performance. Was a little worried that Mike Perry, the strength and the power, was just going to prove to be too much. But, man, Cerrone's submission game, always a little something to worry about as well. And he was certainly pretty slick there. So let's put some guesses in on this opponent. I mean, two names kind of jump out at me. And it's Dustin Poirier and Justin Gaethje. Those are the two names that jump out at me. I do believe that Tony Ferguson is going to face Khabib Nurmagomedov next. I don't imagine that there's going to be a rematch with Conor McGregor. I could be wrong. And, of course, we still got to get through the whole disciplinary hearings and all that happens on December 10th. But just looking at the list, the names that stand out to me or Dustin Poirier, or Justin Gaethje. Poirier is closer to a title shot. There's no question about that. And we know he wants to make a championship run as well. And I don't know if Poirier would look at that as a step down. I don't think he would. I mean, Cowboy, I think, is probably one of those guys that it really doesn't matter where he's standing in the rankings. It's a name. You know, it's a signature win if you get it. So I could see Poirier being interested in that, but I could also see him thinking that that's a step back and that it's not a fight that makes sense for him right now. But, I mean, you know, Nate Diaz isn't exactly highly ranked, and Dustin Poirier was on board for that one. I mean, I know the fighter in Dustin Poirier would certainly be interested in that fight. I mean, he is one of those anybody, anywhere, anytime kind of guys. So it would certainly make sense. But does he look at it as a step down right now? So that's the only thing that concerns me. I know that he is chasing after an opportunity to fight for a title, and that might be, again, I don't want to say a step back because it's not, but I could see him, you know, looking at the rankings and not being happy with it. But that fight would be fun. That fight would be fun, and it would be spectacular, and it would be meaningful, and it would be relevant, and, you know, I mean, those guys have, you know, history dating back to WEC. I mean, these are two guys that have been around for a long time. So it would be pretty cool to see. I think that's probably the one I'd like to see. But I could see Justin Gaethje maybe making sense as well. I mean, Gaethje's somebody that is ranked, and maybe it would make sense for him. So, I don't know. Those are two that stand out to me. And again, that's just guessing. That's, I haven't spoken to anybody about it, but that would be some deductive reasoning on my part. But anyway, fantastic performance, man. I mean, what a way to end this night. It really, I think everybody there in the building tonight felt like they got their money's worth. And of course, Yair Rodriguez, $100,000 worth of bonus, got a performance of the night bonus and fight of the night bonus. Of course, the Korean Zombie takes on the other half of that. And then Cowboy, of course, Cowboy took home 50 G's because that's what he does. those two big fights certainly weren't the only fights that mattered on this card. Jermaine Durandamy picked up a decision win, pretty comfortable decision win over Raquel Pennington. No real doubt about the results here. Jermaine Durandamy was very, very emotional after the win. And, you know, she revealed that a pretty crazy situation occurred. You know, that she broke down in tears right away. And you know what? I don't want to necessarily lay it out first. But I'm just here. I know a lot of people aren't fans of Jermaine Durandamy. Oh, Jesus, it's late. Jermaine Durandamy. I saw it online this week for sure. You know, with her back in action, man, the comments and the things that we saw on the website were bad. And of course, you know, she addressed it early when we talked earlier in the week about, you know, what was happening. But she got very, very emotional, very, very quick. And let her explain, because this is some crazy stuff.
All right, we'll just talk about it. I mean, the feeling of being back in there again after the long layoff and getting the victory. I mean, what's the emotion like for you right now?
Wow, it's very emotional. I try to keep it all together. So when I get in the locker room, I'm not going to lie, I'm going to cry. It's been a roller coaster. It's been a real roller coaster. And no matter what, I'm back. I made it back. And I wanted to finish the fight. It didn't work. But no matter what, I have a special group of people behind me. And without them, I wouldn't be here. But no matter what, I'm back. I made it back. No matter what everybody says, I'm back.
The emotion that you're battling right now, you know, is it because of those doubters or those people, the hate that you received? What is the emotion about right now?
Well, you know, it's an emotion of a lot of things. It's emotion because I'm glad I got the victory. I'm glad to be back. And it hasn't always been easy, you know. With all the doubters, with everybody said, you know, there were times I didn't believe I was going to come back. I had a very bad injury, not only my hand, an injury that made it almost impossible for me never to fight again. And a lot of people don't know about it, and I don't want to get into it a lot. But I can tell you, I've been through hell and back, and I'm back, and that's all that matters.
I know you say you don't want to get into it a lot, but what was it? I mean, can you say what happened?
It was a bad injury. I almost was blind. I got almost blind, and I was blind for a long time, and I have some. I still have some damage, but I'm still back, no matter what people say.
Was there an accident, or was it?
Yeah, a stupid freak ass accident. It was a freak ass accident.
What happened?
I kicked the ball, and the ball came back in my eyeball, and it damaged my nerve, and it made me blind for a long time, and I still have nerve damage, but I still have nerve damage, and up to 2 weeks ago, it was still unsure if the doctors were going to clear me to fight here in the United States. I was cleared in the Netherlands, but it wasn't cleared here in the United States, and nobody knows about this. My team knows about this. My close friends know about this, and, you know, so it's not like... It was nothing. It was a hell of a journey to get here.
So I guess, you know, yesterday she misses weight pretty badly. I guess the journey back, you were like, whatever, let's just...
You know, I have a thyroid problem myself. I never had the weight issues. I don't blame Raquel. I don't blame her at all. I'm glad she stepped in the octagon and fought with me here in her hometown, in her city. I don't blame her. It can happen to anybody. You know, she's a professional. I respect her. I have the utmost respect for her. And it happens. And I'm glad she's healthy and she recovered. And that's the most important thing. I have no ill towards her. I was never at the moment in my mind that I was not going to fight her. I said right away to the matchmakers if she's still up to it, because in my eyes she looked very bad when I looked at her. I'm like, oh damn, that was a hard weight cut. You know, I was just worried the fight wasn't going to continue. I'm glad she's okay, she recovered, and I hope she gets it under control and she comes back even better. She's a true warrior.
I know you had a lot of respect for her. Talk about how the fight played out there. I mean, you won pretty comfortably in the cards, but how did you feel your performance?
It could have been better. I didn't expect her to clinch with me this fast, because she's a warrior. She always fights. So she surprised me, and she walked up me right away. So she surprised me. She definitely did. But you know, I wanted to loosen up a little bit. I was a little bit stiff, but 21 months is a long time. But I'm just glad. In my opinion, I dominated the fight, and I'm just glad to be back. And I did it, and that's the most important thing.
Nice. Last thing for me. I mean, you got a nice little winning streak together now. I know there was a space in there, but you're still on it, you know. So what comes next? I mean, what do you feel you want to do? Are you wanting to stay active, or what do you think?
I have one fight left on my current UFC contract, so I don't know what the UFC has in plans or in stores with me. But for right now, I'm going to take a shower. I'm going to call my mom. I'm going to call my love, my friends. I'm going to hug these guys. I'm going to give them a tight, tight hug. I'm going to drink a beer, and I'm going to hop on a plane, and I'm going to go home and hug my family. And then, when the UFC calls me, we'll find out who I fight next. I'm not calling anybody out. I will never do that. That's not me. I respect everybody.
All right, so there you have it from Jermaine Duran. I mean, she was blind for a bit before this fight, man. That is crazy. I mean, that's not just career ending. I mean, that's life changing. That's man, that's deep stuff, dude. I was we didn't know. You could tell she kind of didn't want to talk about it, but then, you know, it seemed like there was something there that needed to be heard, so we kind of pushed and prodded a little bit, and she finally came out with it. But that's crazy. And again, I mean, I know, I understand that some people label her as a dirty fighter, or label her as you know, a coward even, because she didn't want to fight Chris Cyborg. So I understand that not everybody's going to be on her side, but that is insane to think that she had to deal with that. So we'll see what comes next for Jermaine Duran. I mean, but she was definitely excited to get the victory and fought back the emotion. And we'll also see what comes next for Raquel Pennington. You know, missed weight badly, did not look very good, not look very healthy, I should say. You know, at the weight cut, and then, you know, she talked all week long about the thyroid issue that she was having. We talked to her a little bit about that in the pre-fight. She said she started the weight cut from, you know, 175 pounds, and it wasn't something that she intended, but this thyroid issue was causing problems. So, you know, Rocky Pennington is tough as they come, but she's had a bad year, and she's got to get some things worked out. So I'll definitely be interested to see what happens with her moving forward. But Neil Dariush picked up a decision win over Thiago Moises. Listen, dominating control from Neil Dariush. Smart. You know, I was a little worried about his chin in this fight, but he proved that was no concern, and eliminated it being a concern by really relying on a dominant grappling game. You know, it was hunting for the choke. Couldn't quite get it, but took home a pretty solid victory over the course of three rounds. And, you know, admitted afterwards, it was a very, very emotional victory for him. It had been 2 years since he had picked up a win. And, you know, you go through dark, dark thoughts. You know, he admits, if you want to check out the full interview, it's on our YouTube channel, MMA Junkie YouTube channel. And it'll be on the site tomorrow as well. But, you know, admitted there were some dark times, you know, and he had to rely on his faith to kind of get him through it. But it was tough, and he said he made some changes ahead of this fight that helped out. He did spend 3 weeks in Colorado getting used to the altitude. He said he kind of went out in the mountains a little bit, so he liked getting away like that. He also stopped teaching at his gym during his preparation process, which he said, you know, had to think about him a little bit, had to think about himself, and kind of make some sacrifices and put that to the side, not you know, not teach at his gym, which I think is smart. I mean, I think you know, the good on you that you've got the gym and that you're building an academy, and hopefully that'll take care of you in your post-fighting years. But during the time that you are fighting, man, it's tough. You got to be a little bit selfish. And I think that's a wise decision on his part. So, you know, that fight was promoted to the main card after we lost Joseph Benavidez versus Ray Borg. So that one kind of flew under the radar a week, but a big win for Beneil Dariush. One that did not fly under the radar, Macy Barber, 20-year-old Macy Barber, picking up a TKO win over Hannah Cyphers. Macy, I've said it before, I'm impressed with her. I like what she's capable of doing. I like what she's shown in the past. I like her her confidence. I like her willingness to voice it, you know, to say what it is that she wants to accomplish, and to be able to voice it confidently in front of everybody, you know, that, hey, my fights matter, and I am going to be a champion. So good for her, man. I thought she looked phenomenal. Hannah Cyphers, of course, who kind of became a little favorite of ours this week with just her incredible shyness. Unbelievable. I was talking to our buddy Fiasco Jones, who was doing a little bit of video editing on some packages, and you know, he was talking about some of her fights at Titan. You know, Kamaru Usman was trying to interview her, and she wouldn't even talk. You know, she had to force her coaches to talk for her because she was, like, deathly afraid to say anything. So she showed some toughness, but, you know, she came in as a late notice and looks a little undersized for the division as well. It looks like more like a natural atom weight. Meanwhile, Macy did have problems making weight. She got an extra hour, and with that extra hour, she was able to make it. But, you know, in some places, you don't get that extra hour. So she did, and she used it, and she needed it. But she says that, you know, she's going to make some dietary changes, so she's actually going to head out to the PI and get that fixed up. So anyway, listen, I think Macy Barber is one to keep an eye on. And so let's take a few minutes and listen to hear what she had to say.
All right, well, you've been working to get here. You got the UFC win under your belt. Give me the idea, the emotion. How you feel right now at this moment?
I feel really good, actually. I did what I needed to do. We're good.
You said you didn't anticipate having any nerves, that, you know, you have confidence, and so that kind of eliminates that. But tell us how it was. I mean, we hear about octagon jitters all the time, even from veterans. So give us an idea of what it felt like tonight.
To be honest with you, it felt the same as every other fight that I've done. I just belong here, and I knew that.
Hannah was a late replacement, but she was tough. I mean, what did you think about the matchup and how the fight played out?
She was definitely tough. She's absolutely the strongest person I've fought. She's got a different kind of strong, and that was something I noticed a lot before the fight and even during the fight. And I wasn't going to lie to myself. I'm like, she's strong. And I wasn't worried about it necessarily in the power of striking. I was more so worried about it, like, in the clinch and the wrestling. But I knew technique is going to beat power. So, yeah, we pulled it off.
It was an impressive win. I mean, I'm sure you'll go back and watch it and break it down with your coaches. But right now, saying, how would you assess your performance?
I'm not going to be that person that's like, wow, I have a lot to change. But because everyone else in this world, it probably looks pretty amazing. But to me, I'm like, oh, there's a lot of things I want to change, and I know I need to, especially to continue to grow. I was really happy with the performance, but I can also look back and be like, there's a lot of things that I want to perfect.
Right. And talk about Friday. You know, you did need a little bit extra time to make weight. Just curious kind of what happened there, and if there's a concern moving forward, what happened?
That's a long story. My nutrition is, I'm going to follow a nutrition plan to the T, and I've had some past nutritionists that have not led me down the right path. And I haven't been able to reverse out of that until now. I'm actually going out to the PI tomorrow or Monday, flying out there and getting that figured out so that I have easier cuts. But this cut was definitely the hardest I've ever had. I pushed through, and I was not going to step on the scale without making weight. So getting that extra hour was what I needed. Mm-hmm. I needed it all the way up to the last second, and we did it.
You still feel like straw weight's your long-term home, though?
Absolutely. Yeah. I just have to bump up my calories. I was put on an extremely low-calorie diet, and I never reversed out of it. And that's what we're doing now. So now that I fought in the UFC, I have probably however many weeks to get it figured out. I'll reverse it out. And then I'll have an easier cut next time, and my cuts will never be a problem again.
Last thing for me, we know you want Mackenzie Dern. You've made that clear before the fight, after the fight. How soon do you want to fight? It did look like you were walking a little gingerly in here. Is there something to heal up? How soon do you want to fight?
We'll figure it out. like I said, I'm going out to the PI the beginning of the next week, so we're going to get it checked out there, and we'll see in terms of dates, but I definitely want to fight her, and like I said, when I was in the Octagon, I want to fight on a big card, because that's where I belong, and that's not being, you know, like, I want to be on a big card, it's because I belong on a big card.
All week you've talked about how you want to be the youngest champion in UFC history. Your division's champion, Rose, was in the crowd. Did you see her at all or backstage?
I did not, but she's been at several of my fights, actually. I fought one of her teammates, Audrey Perkins, and she's been in the crowd before when I fought and when I finished. So
she knows who you are.
Yeah. She knows who I am.
She does now.
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Well, What is a big card? I mean, you just fought on the main card for your first fight in Europe.
This was a big card, and I mean, this is a blessing. Yeah, this is what I'm talking about in terms of big card. Main absolutely. Card. I mean, it doesn't get bigger than the 25th year anniversary of the UFC. So yeah, that's what this is what I mean.
What is your first UFC memory, actually? Because you were born after it started.
Oh,
so, like,
boy. Got to dig through that one because there's a lot of emotions going on right now. Honestly, I couldn't tell you the very first one, but I have a lot of memorable fights that I've watched on a lot of fighters that I enjoy watching, and each and every fight that I watch from the UFC is a memorable one for me. So there's something to pick up and learn from all of them, and there's from technique to the heart of a fighter. So
what did you tell Dana?
I told him I get the final. I get one of the bonuses.
You didn't ask. You told him.
Yeah. I told him that. Just like I told him I got the contract, and look where I am.
What did he say?
I don't know exactly. There was a couple of things that we went back and forth on, but I'm pretty sure he might give me one.
What did you think of your opponent's demeanor all week? I mean, she didn't really talk much. You're very comfortable in the media. She gave like very one, two word sentences the whole time.
That's how she is. I mean, I'm not gonna ever judge someone for the way they are. That's who she is, and I am who I am, and that's just the way it is. I don't have anything to, you know, I'm not gonna pick her apart. Each person has their own personality, and that's their zone.
So right now, it's just maybe like 45 minutes after your fight. What's your biggest memory right now? Is it walking to the arena? Was it the hand raise? Was it the actual fight? Like, what's your one? I don't know, your favorite memory already?
So far, I mean, I got to get the crowd behind me. I got to walk out, and I'm happy. I also remember I was singing her walkout song, which was a little weird to me. I was like, why am I singing her walkout song? But it was a good song. Yeah, so, I mean, I have a lot of memories to take away from this, and it's definitely a fight and an experience I'll never forget.
What didn't you expect? Like, what happened that you were like, whoa, I didn't... This is weird, like, as far as just, like...
Nothing really shocked me, you know. I've learned in my life to just kind of go with the flow, and you know, when something random pops up, you're like, all right, you know, this is what's going to happen next, and you can't change it, so you might as well go with it. But there's nothing negative that I had happen tonight. Yeah, it was overall an amazing experience.
All right, Macy Barber, victorious over Hannah Cyphers. Again, I've been high on Macy for a while, and I will continue to ride that bandwagon for now. I thought she looked phenomenal. Hopefully she'll get the weight issue. Not that she missed weight, but still, hopefully she gets addressed like she says she will, working with the PI. Mike Trezano picked up a split decision win over Luis Pena, one of four split decisions on the card. And, three of those split decisions had 30-27 scores in it, which is wild, including opposing 30-27 scores in the Eric Shelton versus Joseph Morales fight on Fight Pass. So, crazy. I mean, just weird scoring tonight. I thought Mike did enough to win this. I think, I believe Steve Morocco was doing our play-by-play tonight. He had it 30-27. Mike Trezano. I had it 29-28 as well. So a big win for Mike Trezano, who, kind of a humble, low-key dude, and, you know, said, look, this was nothing personal, and you know, Luis called me out, and, that, you know, I was happy to beat him, you know, and I think it's good for Mike. You know, now you don't have that question of, well, are you the rightful winner of Tough 27? Because Violent Bob Ross was saying he should have been the guy, so Mike gets to answer that question with this. Mike's camp, by the way, was a little a little salty after they got done interviewing with us backstage. They said, "Hey, what, you know, you guys need to make sure and have Mike's story covered before the fight next time. You know, I saw a lot of Pena stuff out there, and I didn't see much of Trezano. So, I don't know. I we actually wrote about both of them, but I don't know if some other websites only wrote about Luis and didn't write about Mike, but." His corner was a little bit salty about it, man. No question about it. Ashley Yoder picked up a split decision win over Amanda Cooper. She was also one of the split decisions. She was very emotional as well. You know, this was a fight that she definitely wanted to win. I know Amanda Cooper was kind of beside herself that she didn't win. She thought for sure she had. Ashley Yoder was great, though, man. She had Pat Barry and Rose Namajunas in the back. Her coach, Ricardo Feliciano, longtime grappling coach under Dan Henderson, wasn't able to make the fight. I had actually spoken to him earlier in the week, and he had some his passport was taken out of his car, and because of that, he wasn't able to travel, and so she was kind of beside herself, man. She lost a coach, and she outlined the fact that, you know, there was something even wrong with her shorts. I mean, just everything that could go wrong did go wrong, but she credited Pat Barry and Rose Namajunas and their whole team for really kind of adopting her, basically, and helping to look out for her. And, you know, they helped corner her tonight in absence of her coach. So she was very thankful of it. Hard fight, close fight, you know, and a big moment for her to pick up this win. So she was definitely very emotional. Now, the one you got to talk about, Bobby Moffitt defeats Chaz Skelly. And man, this Darce choke, it's tough. And we were watching it all live as it unfolded. It was funny because we actually had Davi, and actually, I always call him Ramos, but I forget it is Davi Hamosh. But Davi Ramos, he was back there. It was funny. He was coming back after his win, and how impressive did Davi look? I told you guys, I love me some John Gunther, but Davi, I believe he's the truth, man. I believe he's going to do big things. But he happened to be walking back just as that Darce choke was happening. And so, you know, we asked Davi, what do you see? You know, watch this replay. What do you see? Look what happened. And he watched it, and he said, I think he went out just for a second. I think Chaz Skelly went out just for a second. But it's so tough to tell. You know, Bobby Moffitt gets the Darce choke. You know, he's trying to turn and hook the legs to get the extra torque on it. Chaz Skelly is circling, trying to keep free, and then, as he explains it, gets to a position and relaxes. And that moment of him relaxing is when the fight was waved off. So I don't want to disrespect Bobby Moffitt here, because Bobby Moffitt carried himself a class, man. He did say, listen, it's not my job. You know, it's kind of the typical line, like, hey, it's not for me to say who won, if it was right, if it was wrong, that sort of thing. But I wanted to hear from Chaz, because Chaz gets fired up and he's upset and he apologizes for his emotional outburst. But you can certainly understand where he's coming from. Again, it does cost you half your check. So he's pretty fired up. And I don't know, just I think it makes sense to let him explain in his words what was going on, because I think when you hear it from Chaz, it sounds pretty damn convincing.
All right, Chaz, well, I know it's still kind of fresh right now, but it sounded like you kind of got control of yourself even in just the little time you've had. What's the emotion like for you right now?
Well, it sucks, you know, to come out here and put in a camp like this. This was a very hard camp for me. I was sick the whole time, and it was very emotional for me. Even making weight was like an emotional experience for me. So this was an emotional fight. I had a lot to prove to myself that I could just dig it out, and I really wanted this to be a tough, hard fight. And for it to end the way that it did is sad. You know, I'm sure I'll go through the steps and try to appeal it first thing in the morning. But, you know, I don't want to take anything away from Bobby. I think he fought a great fight. I think he's improved a lot. His striking's improved a lot. And he's a tough fighter, so I don't want to take anything away from the guy. He came out and he fought a tough fight, and I had his back the whole first round. And to be able to defend when I have your back, that you're pretty good at defending your back, because I can choke anybody from there. So. I really don't want to take anything away from the guy, but I will say I wasn't out. I wasn't close to being out. It was tight when he first sat through with it. It's kind of like a Mars position. When he first sat through with it, my arm was across. It was very tight. When I got my arm out and I extended, that took a lot of the pressure off, and I was relaxing, because I knew the only way anybody who rolls, I mean, come on, guys, I know somebody in here has to do jiu-jitsu. If a guy's got a march like that, and he's burning his arms out, the guy was squeezing for probably a straight minute. His arms, by the time that the ref pulled him off of me, he was about to let go. It wasn't tight anymore. He had already let go of half of his squeeze, so I relaxed. I see what they're saying, but I was here, and I came here, and I just relaxed. If he would have tried to walk his feet to my feet, I would have stiffened up. I would have walked my feet away. I mean, it's basic. It's basic stuff here. So,
did the ref give you an exact explanation of what he saw or why he made the?
He said that he saw my eyes flutter. Is what he said.
And when you watch the replay, you don't.
I don't need to watch the replay. I said, there's no fucking way my eyes fluttered because I wasn't in any way, shape, or form out. I remember the whole thing. I remember exactly what happened. I know exactly what was going through my mind. I was defending it perfect. And when I got here, I was going to wait for him to let go. He was going to burn his arms out. We're at elevation. He was squeezing for a straight minute. You squeeze for a minute like that, and then you let me on top of you, it's going to be a long rest of the fight, I'll tell you that.
So at that moment, the exact moment, the squeeze wasn't that tight?
No. And as soon as he let me go, I said, what the fuck are you doing? You know? And the ref was like, I'm sorry, I thought you were out. And I said, yeah, you should be fucking sorry. That's half my check. You know, this isn't something where I come in and I fight and I make my whole check regardless of what happens. If he fucks up, I lose half of my check. That's money for my family. That's money for me. You know, these fight camps are expensive. Now I got to go through a whole nother fucking fight camp, and I basically just barely paid for this one. You know?
I know you said you're going to go through the appeal process. Yeah. I'm sure they're going to make that. Is this a fight that you want to run back? I mean,
I'd love to run it back, but yeah. I would love to run this fight back more than anything. But he's a young guy, and he's got a young career. And if I'm in his shoes, I say, I'm moving on, bro. I mean, I'm not going to go and rematch somebody that they, you know, I would think that if they called it a no contest, he would want to. If they don't call it a no contest, I don't think he would want to, and I don't blame him. But do I want to? Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, come on.
Do you think instant replay is something that is needed in the sport for stuff like this?
I do, but if you got a bunch of fucking dumbasses sitting around the camera that can't overturn something that's already happened, then what's the point?
What did you make of your performance up until then?
I'm sorry, I apologize. I'm just a little heated. I don't, you know, I'm not calling anybody a dumbass. I don't even know who was looking at the camera. I'm just saying, I don't see how, by from watching that video, I don't see how they couldn't see I wasn't out, especially the immediate reaction. When you're choked out, you're fucking choked out. If you're unconscious, you're unconscious. You're not immediately like, what's going on? The ref's not immediately apologizing to you. So I'm sorry. What's the next question?
What'd you think of your performance up until that moment?
I'm going to be completely honest with you. First round, I think I could have pushed a little harder for the finish. He was doing a good job of defending. And then when he stood up, I was intertwined there. And so it was kind of a tough spot for me to advance. So I was just laying a little rabbit punches. Obviously, I won the first. The second, I came out and I kind of relaxed. You know, I wanted him to push a little bit. And I actually wanted him to shoot. And I was going to start a scramble from there. And when I got caught on my butt, I was perfectly fine. I reversed the position. I got on top. He hit the Mars, which I would have ended up on top anyways. But you know, I think it was good for the camp I had. These guys, my coaches and my teammates, they pushed me as hard as they possibly could, and I'm very grateful for that. But you know, I was sick a lot of the camp, and my body just it was having a hard time. So I think I was doing good under the circumstances, but could I have done a lot better? Sure.
Are you hoping to take time off then if you were sick during
the whole thing? No, I'm just hitting my stride. You know, he caught me with a couple good shin kicks there, and I would like for that swelling to go down, but I'm going to be right back in the gym. I actually, like, the last 2 weeks, I actually just started hitting my stride to where I felt like I was kind of coming back into my own, because after this injury, you know, I had such a long layoff, and my body just wasn't responding well, but it is now, and I can't wait to get back to the gym.
So for the record, it was the rest that it was your eyes fluttering, not the arm.
Yes, so he
looked like he grabbed your face.
That's
a little bit, but it was really the ref shaking.
So after they came back, he said something about my arm. But when he stopped it, I said, what the fuck? And he's like, I'm sorry. I thought you were out. He said, I thought I saw your eyes flutter. And I was like, well, my eyes weren't fucking fluttering. That's exactly what happened at that moment. After they watched the replay, I think I remember somebody saying something like, oh, no, when I was talking to Felder on the side of the cage, he said, well, it kind of looks like your arm went limp. I said, well, I was fucking relaxing. you know, when you're caught in a submission, you don't want to, you know, when you're caught in a choke, you don't want to be, I'm not going to flex and bust out of it, you know?
They're going to line some criticism of what people that say you were out. It was because you didn't flex your arm.
Yeah, I was relaxing. I was out. I wasn't choked. I wasn't choking, and I just relaxed. I mean, I do it all the time in practice. Anybody who rolls and has been caught and choked and just waited it out has done it. That's what you do.
I was going to say, being that so much high-level jiu-jitsu kind of is about staying calm in those situations, and going back as far as officials go, do you think there's a better way to go about that? I mean, we've had that system of
I think
arm.
That what he could have done is checked me. I think that he could have – I could have talked to him at that point. If he had said – I mean, there's sometimes that you can't, but if he had said anything to me – he didn't say anything to me. If he had said anything to me, I would have said, I'm okay. I told him in the locker room before. He said – he told me this in the locker room before. He said, if you're caught in something, don't – if I hear you yelling anything, I'm going to figure it's a verbal submission. I said, I have a tendency to say, I'm okay, I'm okay. And he said, well, if I hear you yelling or screaming or anything, I'm going to assume that it's a verbal submission. So you don't want me to talk? You do want me to talk? Will you want me to relax? You want me to flex and bust out of it? What do you want me to do?
What happened to your elbow? I heard it was Tommy John. You don't really hear that much.
Yeah, Tommy. Well, when I was fighting Jason Knight in the first like minute and a half of the fight, I went to do a standing pass. I took him down. I went to stand up. And he just threw like a what? He went to throw a triangle up, and I stood up out of it, and I left my arm dangling. And he just grabbed it and popped his hips in, just like a weird thing, freak thing, and it just pop. It broke in the joint, and it tore the major ligaments or tendons or something running my elbow. So I had like a baseball pitcher surgery. Right. Yeah. Sorry guys, if I was, you know, I just get a little emotional. I just half my fucking paycheck, so.
So there you go. Chas Skelly believes, you know, a wrong was definitely made here. And I'll be honest, at first I did think kind of the same thing, that he briefly went limp. And he says I was just relaxing, and that is true. I mean, you do need to relax in that position and get yourself some space. But I thought he went limp briefly. Now, he says that the referee told him it was a fluttering in his eyes. I didn't see that. I definitely didn't see that. So, it's just a tough spot, man. I guess, you know, if you're thinking that maybe it's close, you know, it is just a blood choke. Like, you could just kind of leave it a little bit longer to make sure. You know, we've seen that happen before. But, I mean, we're so critical of referees when they don't get in quick enough. You know, I hate to be wearing on them the need to let things go longer, because fighter safety is paramount. But you just feel bad for a guy. And you heard Chas lay it out there. I mean, everything that he had to battle through, and then, you know, to not get to take home all of his money, man, it definitely does suck. And again, Bobby Moffitt, very respectful. You know, he did say, I think I won this fight pretty clearly. You know, the use of instant replay was used, which that's good. You know, glad to see that they brought it in. I just don't know if they got it right. And seeing the instant replay in action, I mean, I guess there's going to be some times when instant replay is used where it's, you know, painfully clear and obvious, and a fix is made and a change is made, and that's good. Here, I don't know. It's such a judgment call. You know, I don't know what they could have done to overturn it. So, interesting to see the instant replay used, but not really impacting anything either. So, just a bad situation. I'd like to see him run it back, to be honest with you. I mean, I think Chas laid it out why Bobby probably wouldn't want to, but I'd love to see him do it again, you know, and hopefully do it again relatively soon, because you know, I don't think either one of the guys is hurt. So, crazy situation for sure, man. Crazy situation. As we said, Davi Hamos looked phenomenal. Again, keep your eye on him. I really do think he's capable of great things. Devontae Smith looked incredible as well. Man, that's two very impressive performances for him in a row. Eric Shelton, now with American Top Team. He's had three split decisions in his short UFC career, man. But he came out on the right end of this one. And Mark De La Rosa started the night off with a win over Joby Sanchez. Again, a split decision that I didn't understand, to be honest with you. I just thought, didn't think it should be a split decision. I thought it was very clear that he won. And Mark De La Rosa was having some fun in there, man. He really was. He was talking a little bit. He started yelling at his opponent's corner. You know, his corner was like, he likes that, you know, and just kind of messing with him, and he answered back at him, I love it. So anyway, it was good stuff, man. It was a great way to start the night off. So listen, fantastic card. It really was. I mean, I know on paper people weren't necessarily excited about the card, but I thought it delivered top to bottom. And again, those last two fights especially, just absolutely incredible. So good stuff, good stuff. Hopefully you enjoyed our coverage all week long from Denver. I am actually going to try and get some sleep now and send this all this good stuff off to my man Cole Coffey. Like I said, I think he's sleeping now, but hopefully you'll get this bad boy all edited together and you can listen to it on your Sunday afternoon. In the meantime, thanks for listening.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.